The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
Forever Dog.
Warning, the following HauntCast contains the excitement of television show activations, toy buying bots, and a giant pumpkin mere feet away from slightly discounted shoes and pants. Get in the car at a safe distance and enjoy drive-through haunts on HauntCast, the fright.
Welcome to HauntCast the Fright, a HauntCast so scary that when you tell your non-theme park people about how long our episodes are, they scream in terror. My name is usually Mike Carlson, but this month it is Spike Gnarlson.
Did you change it again?
It's been different. Yeah, it's been some controversial ones this month, but that's, I think, non-controversial. That's just fun Halloween. Joining me, as always, usually Jason Sheridan this month.
Jack-O-Lantern Slime-It-In.
Very consistent, very good Halloween name.
I wrote it down so I would remember, and thanks. I worked on it for a while. I was worried if I just went with Jack-O-Lantern Jason, that's like a... improv warm-up nonsense.
I like that too, though. I'll be honest. Okay. I like that too.
Or Jason Jack-O-Lantern. I think it works either way.
Mm-hmm. Joining also us, as always, usually Scott Gardner.
Well, I was thinking, if we're all kind of experimenting, like, what is the rule dictating that it has to reflect our real name in some way? Like, because I'm Scott all the time, and if I was just something similar to Scott, like, what's preventing me from just being Rick Zombieberg? Just want to change it up.
There's nothing preventing it. I think that is sort of the fun. It sounds a little like it, so it's like a version of you. But if you want to do a whole new persona, I think that's good.
Yeah, I think so. I'm just, Rick is a cool name. That's a name I'd like to have just for a little bit. And it's not a parody of anything. I don't know what the non-Halloween version of Rick Zombieberg is. Maybe it's like Zellberg or something, but it doesn't matter. I'm Rick Zombieberg from now on, because I'm sick of my own initials.
That's fine. What if I just go by Ice Pick from now on? Okay.
Hell yeah. That's so cool.
My name is Ice Pick now. That's what would call me that for the rest of the month. And maybe
we gotta
forever.
Break out of these rules. Like, why? What is this unspoken that it has to be a pun about your... Like, let's go wild. Let's go hog wild. Mm-hmm. That could be... I don't want to say what Jason's is, but if Jason's was hog wild...
Oh. Hog wild's pretty good. I was going to pitch Mr. Murder. Is that better or worse than hog wild? Lateral?
They both have their good points, I think. There's both big reasons to like those.
And it's still up to you to choose, ultimately. That's what we're doing. With me embracing being Rick Zombieberg, it's all about grabbing the reins of a new persona.
How about Dr. Murder Hog?
I like that.
Hell yeah. That's kind of best of both worlds.
Yeah. And I added doctor in, too. So you're like, you have like a lab coat that's covered in blood.
And respect.
Yes, the scariest thing you can have on your coat.
That's right.
Sorry, Dr. Murder Hog.
Dr. Yes. Murder Hog, that's good. Okay. Yeah, I think anything.
Now, if we can remember selectively through the episode We're going to default to what our regular names are, but it'd be nice to, we're talking about like drive-through haunts and the former Jason, I went and tried one. But if I was like, now, doctor, how was it? Was there like a big backup? Because it's, how many people were there? I mean, did you have a good time, doctor?
Yes, I did. I did. I was a little concerned at first. They certainly had the place markers for like, oh, if it's running long, they even had like a from this point 50 minutes. Yeah, that feels good. That feels right.
Mm-hmm. Ice pick. Does that seem like something you could make your way through?
Yeah, it does sound like that. Oh, wait a minute. Now I have a different voice.
The voice changed entirely, too.
Wow. Yeah, no, but that feels good. Being called ice pick feels good, and it makes me feel different.
Tossing it away so casually, too.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I've actually forgotten your name, so tell me what it is.
It's Rick Zombieberg.
That's right, of course. I'll write it down so I don't forget it. Okay, yeah. And Rick, you were just talking about it. You were talking about this whole Zombieberg family and what you were doing. How did that go? How was that?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's so many of us. By the time you get the Zombieberg cousins out, and some people are only it's a hyphenate, Zombieberg and Ghostlington zombies, so you gotta get the Zombiebergs out and the Zombieberg Ghostlingtons. You're talking 50 people coming to your Halloweens usually, but now it's all gonna be on Zoom, so it's all fucked.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah,
well, that's good. That feels seamless.
I'm loving this new persona. It's injecting some life into this Halloween season, which, as we've said, is hampered by the current state of affairs. And what we're here to talk about is Halloween experiences that you can do and that we went and did in the Los Angeles area. But there's stuff all over the country you can do. I like that we're trying to break out and make something happen in a drive-through fashion or a virtual fashion. I applaud the creativity on the parts of everyone doing these kinds of things.
Yes, it's they're making the best of a bad situation, and I think there's a variety of these things, which is nice too. I think a lot of people are doing a version of this.
I think so, and I think we all did something pretty different. As fun as some of what we've done here in 2020 is, I think it can't help but make you be nostalgic for Halloweens gone by, more classic Halloweens, like when you were a kid and when you could actually do the trick-or-treating. And I am more now than ever incredibly nostalgic for my favorite Halloween, which was in 1994. On which Halloween I got to appear on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. this was a thread left open months ago. This was discussed deep into our longest episode. It was buried under minutes and minutes of content in our episode about The Tonight Show Ride, which is available on the Patreon. So if you didn't hear it there, I had a family friend who worked in the music department on the Carson and then the Leno Tonight Show, and there was a sketch going on, and I was obsessed with the fact that I knew somebody who worked at that show was mind blowing to me, and I could go like be in a bit. I felt so much like Bart on the Krusty Show, in the what birth the I didn't do it situation. Now, it didn't go that far because Bart had a line. I was just one of many, many trick-or-treaters. And I'm wearing a mask, so you can't tell it's me. I'm wearing a Richard Nixon mask, which I may have said in the other episode. I thought, well, maybe Jay will appreciate that, as he is a political satirist.
A very sophisticated one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we know. If only we had him now to sort through the ins and outs of this complex situation we're currently in. All of this is just to say, I'm not going to play a clip of it because it's just lengthy, and you basically just see a Nixon in the mix as this sketch goes on, including mainly starring health guru Susan Powder, who is famous, of course, for her catchphrase, stop the insanity. As I may have said in the other episode, none of this was explained to me, like what it was going to be. It was just like, okay, go out there. Like there was never a rehearsal. This was never run, nor did it need to be. That was, it was, they did the right amount of preparation and not overthinking. All this to say, that clip will be available on our Twitter, so you can watch it, and I'll make sure to circle which one I am, just so you know, because there'd be no other way to know. But in finding the tape, I had an interesting discovery, because I was like, well, what was the rest of this episode? What was I don't think a lot of people have like a tape of a Leno episode in general, mm-hmm. from that era, from 94. And this was a jam-packed episode because there was a remote done by Bill Maher, who was a correspondent who was reporting from Tiny Tim's wedding. I'm not sure I even know how to explain who Tiny Tim was.
Like a musician fringe character type guy.
He had a novelty song guy.
Yeah, he had an interesting voice.
Yeah,
he was an eccentric.
Tulips. Yeah,
I don't know. There, is that it? Is that about
I think
good?
I think so. He was famous for getting married on the Carson Tonight Show, and then he was like, they seemingly tried to do it again, but very half-assed, just with these Bill Maher check-ins. So that's going on. I remember being in the hallway and passing by Richard Simmons at some point, wearing just full, exactly the Richard Simmons wardrobe that you'd want to see. So I thought that was really cool. But then I was trying to remember, who was the musical guest? Because I remember thinking, what if then the show keeps going and then I basically get to see a concert? What if the musical guest is one of the people I really like? What if it's a cool band like Hammer or the Beach Boys, the two music acts that I liked at the time? Mm-hmm. And then I remember being disappointed, it's this, this sucks. It's a grown-up band. It's a boring adult band. And I never knew what it was until rewatching the tape. The band in this episode was Big Star.
What?
What?
Yes.
What?
Beloved cults, one of the most respected bands in history. It was this reformed version.
Right.
Big Star was Alex Chilton and a guy with Bell was the other guy. I don't know why it's not coming to me. Alex Chilton and other people hired guns. I think the
Chris,
band the Posies.
Chris Bell was the guy who was in the band, but he died. He died before 1994.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Oh, wait, in that year where this was happening?
No, he
oh
died before God. 94. Sorry.
Oh, before 94.
Yeah,
okay.
He died in, I'm looking it up now, 78.
Oh, geez. Okay, long ago. Yeah, anyway, this has just lingered in my head as I wish that band wasn't so boring. And now I've realized it's one of the most revered, quietly adored bands in history. And they were so in this room at this time, in the same room, Halloween 94, Jay Leno, Matthew Broderick was there, Jennifer Tilly and Richard Simmons, Alex Chilton. And a 9-year-old Scott Gardner in a Nixon mask.
Wow. That's wild.
Yeah. Could not believe
it. What
that.
Song did Big Star play?
They did In the Street,
which
not too long after became the theme to that 70s show as covered by Cheap Trick. Iconic song. They barely performed live ever. This might have been one of the only television appearances of Big Star.
I'm not even that up on where they went sort of after they stopped putting stuff out. So I don't even know the timeline of why they were on the Tonight Show in 1994. What was going on at the time?
I think there was a live album they were promoting or something.
Yeah. That could have also just been the albums are finally on CD. Because I was wait, were the albums even at print in 94?
That's true. But, a lot of bands did perform in that context, the reissue of such
right.
and such.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow. So yeah.
Anyway,
it wasn't you were supposed to know get excited about Alex Chilton at the time.
No, and I was insufferable enough as a 17-year-old talking about Alex Chilton. Let alone if I was 9. I would have been the worst. I as a 9-year-old who brought a Richard Nixon costume to a TV show, and then I have this other memory of this is an exciting time for me. This was I must have gotten the bug to be in media, because right around the same time, it was right after this, in the same week, I went to a recording studio to record a Christmas album with my boy choir. the St. Mel Church boy choir, and we did, you know, mostly standards, but, you know, kind of you know, like ring Christmas bells, merrily ring. I remember that I wore a big old, like, didn't fit me Tonight Show hat to the record. So I'm feeling like so high on my own shit. I've just been on the Leno Tonight Show. Now I'm recording my album. And I walked into it and I was not friends with anyone else in the boy choir. We did not get along. And some kid is like, "Where'd you get that hat?" And I was like, "I was on the show." And he was like, "No, you weren't." And that was the end. And I didn't argue back because I was too scared to.
Oh, wow. You weren't. You were like, "Yeah, you're right."
Yeah, he's probably right. He's bigger than me, maybe. Never mind. Actually, he's more confident than me. He's much shorter, but extremely confident. So he's probably right.
I've apologized a million times for doing that.
It's just whenever we get in a tiff, I see that guy, that boy choir. I'm looking at you in my Zoom window like, I bet Jason doesn't believe I was on the Tonight Show.
Prove it.
I will.
Show the hat.
I'm putting this tape on, and you might think that I'm just going to circle an arbitrary kid in a Nixon mask, but it was me. He'll turn, and you'll see Scott brown hair, and you'll know.
Do you think if you had, like, we're like, "Well, yeah, I walked by Alex Chilton." He was like, "Whoa."
From no kidding. That's one of the guys.
From the box tops?
Oh, man. The guy who sang the letter? Boy, he's one of the guys who made me want to get into recording. That's why I'm in this studio to cut Merry Christmas from the St. Mel's Boy Choir.
That would have fixed it, I think.
Would have shut everyone up. Mm-hmm. If only I knew. So I failed. My lack of musical knowledge at 9 failed me. I'll try to post that whole album too. I'll try to do it in a lossless format, like a FLAC, like an FLAC.
Yeah, yeah, highest quality. Please. Like, you could play it on Neil Young's Pono. You could. That would be like the version. Neil Young's short-lived.
I'll try to get a hold of him if I can get Neil on the line, just to, you know, oversee the fidelity of it. I have a memory about recording that Christmas album also, which is that when it began, we were promised $100 each and a CD of the album, and it ended up being $25 and a tape.
That prepared you for a career in media better than anything else.
Yeah, really.
It all was contained in those couple months, wasn't it? And I got into it anyway. And I had to, because when I got hit by those lights and I got to share the stage with Susan Powder herself, I had to keep going. So anyway, that'll all be a video on the Twitter, and you know, the album, we gotta wait to Christmas. We got Halloween to get through first.
Oh man, you have the album.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah. The album's around. Yeah, yeah. And I could scan the cover also and try to prove that one of the blurry dots in the red robes is me.
Could you do a remix too of it maybe for Christmas? Like an EDM style remix?
Well, maybe so. I mean, that depends. I can't promise how like in tempo Bill the piano player was. I don't know that you could like set a metronome to it.
I see.
But I'll bring it into Garage. I mean, if I gotta cut it up, right. I can do that.
All right, well, that's exciting. That's a good tease.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I knew I was playing the long game. Like, the audience for these things wasn't there then, but I knew someday I'm going to accrue a rabid podcast audience that is going to really want to hear my falsetto on a Christmas album.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so, yeah, probably we gotta, did you look as that Big Star performance on YouTube at all?
It is. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you can just watch that. I'm not going to post that for you, but you can watch Leno introduce. Yeah. And so, yeah, two of the greats in the same, say, you know, Alex Chilton rocking one of his classic songs and me rocking one of the best masks ever worn by a child.
Man, if only you had wandered out on the stage as Nixon and done backup vocals on In the Street.
It would have...
Hang it out!
With the peace signs, probably. Yeah. Wow. It would have been the soy bomb of its day.
Mm-hmm.
This episode's going to need, boy, anyone who doesn't remember the 90s well is going to need a glossary to recall Big Star and Soy Bomb.
Yeah, these
and
are references.
Susan Powder.
These references, we apologize to the younger listeners. But go check out
these are.
Check out Big Star and check out Chris Bell's I Am the Cosmos solo album, too.
I've never really listened to it because I'm afraid it would make me too sad. It
oh, my God.
Very sad.
I Am the Cosmos is the saddest song you will ever hear. And it is truly like you put headphones on and it is the sound of a heartbreaking. And I don't know if there's any song that I think is sadder than that.
Yeah, I mean, I've you know, like some of those big stars like Kangaroo, it's very, very morose. You're gonna really be in a state, and that seems like too hard of a drug for
oh
me.
My God,
it's been this year.
Yeah, those albums are pretty good, but like, yeah, 13 might make you a little too introspective for quarantine times.
13 though is like a fun bop compared to I Am the Cosmos.
Yeah, that's a little it's a little uplifting. Yeah
it's sweet and nostalgic.
It
and
is
makes
very
it
sweet.
Sad but certainly like, oh my God, I Am the Cosmos. It's great. Anyway,
This episode every year is normally titled Mike Loves Haunts, but this year it just gets longer and longer of like the boys love appropriate, safe Halloween experiences and also are losing their minds. And
well,
also have some things to say about Big Star and 24, 26, is that right? Is that math right? 26-year-old Tonight Show episodes?
Yeah, but only the ones I'm on. I mean, okay. I'll watch some old Tonight shows definitely in other yes. contexts. I've spent the last couple of weeks watching a lot of 90s MTV Movie Awards also. So I'm off the deep end.
Now that's fun. I don't care who you are.
Just audience, be glad that Scott didn't find an organic way for us to talk about the rumor of McCartney releasing McCartney 3 in December, the long-awaited follow-up to McCartney 2 from 1980.
Yeah, because then we're in 3-hour territory.
Yeah, yeah.
We're never getting out of here. But to veer us back in, let's get out of Halloween 94, and we'll be back to Christmas 94 soon for the Boy Choir. But Halloween 2020, we're stuck. We got to stay distant. We got to stay in our cars. What did we do? How did we overcome this? How did we all get into the Halloween spirit? I genuinely don't. I kind of know what Jason did. Mike, I don't know. I'm sorry, Ice Pick, I don't know. Doctor, I'm curious your thoughts about the drive-through. How do we get into it?
Well, I think I'll start with mine. So there are a variety of things we were talking about that different places are doing. Varying levels of scares, varying levels of production, you know.
Yeah.
I think everyone's doing it their own way. I saw downtown LA has, and I forget the name of it, but they have a more specific family focused thing where like they still hand out a bag of candy. I'm not sure if they do it in like the way that Taco Bell does the COVID theater of having like a Rubbermaid. They put the bag in and hand it to you through the through the window, which is COVID theater in my estimation. But they have something like that, I believe. Everyone's being creative. Everyone's doing their best. And I was looking through stuff to do. And I will say up front, I should have done something scarier. Because I'm the toughest one of the three of us when it comes to haunts, okay? Not in everything else, but haunts, I'm the toughest guy. And you have to acknowledge my toughness when it comes to going through haunts and my love.
Ice Pick loves haunts.
And the Haunted Hayride, now maybe I was trying to look for an excuse, but the Haunted Hayride is supposedly scary. They usually do it at Griffith Park, and they're doing it in, I believe, San Dimas?
Yes. By the dusty raging waters. By the shuttered for now
right.
raging waters
wow.
when used this summer.
Now, Bill and Ted's hometown.
In hindsight, I think that probably should have been the thing I did, but it was 90 minutes away. And I will say the idea of getting scared in my car did scare me a little bit. That seemed a little more scary for some reason than having just a teen jump out at you from behind a corner.
You think it's more scary?
Yes, I do think it's more scary. I would rather be.
I think it's less.
Really? Because I would rather be walking through, have an ability to move and react. There's something about it if it's like, I think there's like five teens all crouched around the car and there's loud music being played outside and they're just going to keep popping up. I guess at a certain point you get desensitized to it, but there's something like that feeling like trapped that I don't like. Do you disagree? You know what I'm saying? There's a trapped feeling of like, I can't even control at all. And I'm not going to like put my car into drive and run them over. Like, I can run faster. I can hide behind a Valencia teen at Six Flags, but I can't hide behind anything here.
Well, but I think, I mean, you can hide behind your steering wheel. That seems comforting to me.
Hey, in the car, you're hidden.
Yeah, you're in the car. There's two
I guess
types.
I could crouch down and put my hands over my head to just not look. You're right, I guess. I hear them. I hear them hitting the window. Go
I think
away.
The scarier stuff from what I've, because there's videos of a lot of these online at this point, and like the scenes happen either far away from you or they get close to your car and you're in park.
Right. Yes. Right. Right. Because they can't have you. You can't be driving and get scared and run off, like take the wheel and just swerve off the road and run into a bunch of people dressed like Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Like that's not going to happen. So anyway, all that to say up front, I did find something that was pretty highly rated from what I was reading. Something called Knights of the Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in Calabasas.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was sold out up until November 1st, and I had to do what I love to do, which is checking to get a ticket.
You got to do it. You haven't done it all year.
I haven't done it in regards to tickets. I certainly have checked to get NECA Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle action figures.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't done it.
Can you talk about the thing that you did? I don't remember if that worked out.
Which thing?
The bot?
Oh, yeah. So, Scott, this is a long story.
No.
I'll try to make it very quick. So, basically, what was happening is these Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that I love that are made by this company, NECA, they go up for pre-sale. Not pre-sale, they're main sale. And it's like, you'd never know what time it goes up. The Target website is confusing. And the first couple times they put them up, they put up Metalhead, I believe, and they put up Casey Jones. These are all the cartoon versions of Ninja Turtles. They were bought instantly by bots. And I was just like, I'm good at getting this stuff. I'm good at checking. And I was beaten by the machine. I was beaten by these machines to get these toys. And this is especially early on in COVID where it's like, I'm not trying not to go into the stores as much or whatever. So it happened again. And I got so fed up. I looked into buying a bot. I looked into buying a program that could outbot these other bots. So
you were going to create life.
I was going
to create a being designed to buy this one toy and then wander the digital earth for 10,000 years.
I was going to, you know, you had to have a real son, Scott. I was going to have a digital son that could procure me sweet nostalgic toys.
Your son buys you toys. And
yeah.
That's all he does.
Inevitably, it would have been a Star Trek situation like Professor Moriarty on the holodeck where he wants to get out of the computer somehow, and I'm trying to make that happen for him, and he's wreaking havoc. But it wasn't going to get there yet. So people, I think also people who deal with this stuff, like this happens in sneaker sales a lot, where there are bots.
Yeah.
And I know people are very anti-bot, so I apologize. The only reason I was doing this was not to get the toys to flip. It was just to procure the toys for myself. I was becoming a bad boy just so I can get my toys. So I had a guy in Sweden make me a bot.
This has not come up before.
I don't know. There's a lot of weird stuff in my life that hasn't come up before. Let's be honest. I made a guy in Sweden to make me a bot that could get this stuff pretty quickly. And and whenever they went on sale. So the long and the short of it is he definitely worked on it a lot to get it to the point where it could take me up till like the purchasing screen. It never worked perfectly. It would just auto refresh and then it would load and get me to the main screen. And I only used it once because then as soon as that almost as soon as the like next sale went up, Target kind of fixed the issue.
It outsmarted your bot instantly?
Well, they didn't outsmart the bot. It's just the Target system got better for purchasing these turtles. So as soon as they were up, they would last for at least like 5-10 minutes, basically rendering my bot useless. I paid $100 for this bot. So it wasn't like a top of the line bot. I've been told bots could cost you $5,000 if they're very sophisticated. So
do you ever see anything? Like what?
Okay, so if you want to know, there's a program called Python that is a program that basically can take control of your Google Chrome. So basically what this does is it just automatically has certain prompts to put in. So you get like a text document, you load in what the website will be for the item you want to purchase, and then you put in like your credit card information, all that stuff sort of in a script, in a text document, and then...
Yeah, you Python still have to do this?
Yeah.
Python
is
a coding language. Like,
yes, I had to learn... I had to learn a little bit.
Mike's newest discovery is not an obscure movie or band or anything. It is like a decades-old, very basic coding language.
It is a coding, yeah. So essentially... You know, this nice man in Sweden made me a document that I could place all that information in, and then it would auto load, and essentially it would just like refresh the page until the sale went live, and then would load it into the cart and go through all the screens, and that's what it was doing. It wasn't, I wanted it to be like, "Hello, Michael, what are we purchasing today?" Another toy from your childhood? What's wrong with you?
He still gives you the business, like Dr. Smith and whatever that robot was.
How about instead of spending $25 on this, you try therapy?
I redirected you to a different website. Better Health. Wait, Better Help? What did we read? Which one have we read ads for?
They're not paying anymore.
We don't owe them. We don't owe them knowing what the name of it is. Okay, so you can't then like reprogram this. You can't now take the bot and say, new mission, you are going to... check fast passes within the Disney World app for for fans of my show who are lucky enough to actually get to go to a theme park.
No, the bot, this is a thing I learned very quickly. The bot has to be specifically made for the website that you're using it for, just because it's the way every website is a little different. So no, this is not some, I mean, maybe there's like, again, there's a $5,000 super bot that can check almost anything, but yeah, this one has to be specifically programmed for the Target website. But I have not used it, so I wasted $100 essentially.
So what's the bot doing now?
The bot is sitting here on my desktop. He's sleeping. The bot is sleeping.
Oh. Also, Scott, don't be ridiculous. There's no fast passes right now. You got to get park passes. That's what you got to get. As my family learned, we booked a trip to Orlando a year out. Like, well, let's be optimistic about the end of 2021. And they assured us, in a few days, you'll be able to pick which parks you want to go to which day. And we're like, we haven't given that enough thought. When are these park passes in effect to? Oh, the answer to that, early 2022, that system is set up till now.
My God. This thing that I hate about Disney World that other people seem to like, where you have to plan your trip. Now it's literally true. All right, so just think about what you might want to do 14 months from now. This is even crazier.
Yeah, so... yes, I think that's going to be the way for a little while now. Probably,
yeah,
even whenever Disneyland opens. Yeah, I think that's probably going to be similar.
Yes.
But anyway,
set us up with your Swedish guy. If the Swedish guy has time to help us and everyone listening to the show, that'd be great.
I will do that. But yes, the bot right now, there's really no need for him. And yes, I was getting desperate. You know, I need these dumb turtle toys. I just got the rock soldiers. They're beautiful toys. Do you remember him from Ninja Turtles?
No.
He was Krang's rock soldier from Dimension X. His name is General Tragg.
I mean, I like him.
Yeah, he's great. What's not to like?
It's great. I approve. It's wonderful. Yeah, it's wonderful, okay, what you're
good,
doing.
Good, good, good.
If this bot lives kind of where you recorded the podcast, right? So he's listening to everything you're saying, and he's heard every episode you've recorded lately.
He knows.
So you could, if anything ever happened to you, could the bot replace him? Or replace you?
I think that's probably true. I mean, it's probably like, I don't know who watched Star Trek Picard, but sort of, spoiler alert, Data's consciousness has been sort of living while Data's been dead. So I think maybe everything about me as a person is now stored on the computer in my bot. So there could be like some sort of epic adventure sort of to go through the internet and retrieve my personality, my whole programming, if something happens.
We could put your personality into General Trog, and he could tell us about...
Jason, his name is General Tragg. Tragg, Jason.
Excuse me.
God damn it. Get it right.
Excuse me.
Humans make mistakes, not like your bots. You have to cut us some slack.
Bots can pronounce all the characters' names correctly. Granitor, Leatherhead, Metalhead...
Trogdor the Burninator, all your face.
I will be known as General Tragg from now on, not Ice Pick.
Okay.
All right, let's cross that out. Ice Pick, General Tragg. Okay, so General, let's get back to Knights of the Jack.
Okay, Knights of the Jack. All right, so here's, so I saw people talking about this and that they really liked it. So we drove to Calabasas. I got a ticket. I was checking all day. I did this manually. This was all brain power, no bot power. We went, Lindsay and I went last night, and we drove to Calabasas. Nice getting out of the house, sometimes. And the Calabasas is around like what's called, I guess, the Santa Monica Mountains, which I've really never spent too much time around. Mm-hmm. They're not particularly nice looking mountains, but it's mountainous and, you know, it's got... there's scenery. So we get there, and this was the first round of the night for this experience. It was 6:30. So I'm assuming, like most of these, and you'll tell me if you guys did a similar thing, you have to drive through this long, winding, essentially a queue.
Yeah.
And the queue for this wasn't like full of cars, but it was so long and it was so bumpy. I was like, are all four of my wheels going to burst?
Well, and let's put this in context, because this is on a farm.
Yes,
this
is normally, yes, thank you, thank you. It's King Gillette Ranch is where this is located.
It's normally a walkthrough. It's always a lot of jack-o'-lanterns, but it's normally, I think, a walking, like,
right,
cider, probably cider, donuts, sort of fall events, Halloween events.
Yes, that is correct. So we're driving through there, and I went, is this whole thing going to be on this terrain? Because I was like, I don't know if this is, should we just turn off now if this is? And luckily it was not. Luckily, after we got through this queuing part, it was not so bumpy. But I was pretty worried for a couple minutes. I was wondering, okay, are they going to, they should have warned us about this, that we should have brought a Jeep to this. Not the case. So just telling you everything. So it's a long stretching thing, and we're driving through, and we're a little bit early, and there's a lot of fun, like, kind of cardboard cutouts of monsters, and it's very friendly or whatever. And we see a sign that says tune your radio to 100.1 FM, and we go, oh, this makes a lot of sense. There's probably a soundtrack to go along with this, and you play it on your car. This makes a lot of sense. This is probably what's going to happen here. So we start driving in, and it's, I don't know, has anybody seen, I'll show you, I'll share the screen real quick just to give you a sort of an idea of what everything's like.
Sure.
And I have some videos too, and I can post those. So it's like, you know, this is sort of the vibe we're getting here, and this is the website, and it's just kind of like, it's very, things are nicely decorated. There's fun little things there. So we're driving, and there's, you know, displays that are similar to this. There's, you know, skeleton on a motorcycle or whatever, and different pumpkins, and we're listening to this 100.1 radio station, and it's like playing like Grease Lightning. And we're like, is this really a Halloween song? And then I'm like, well, wait a minute. I go, this couldn't be in sync, because everyone's going at different intervals. So like, what are we doing listening to the station? And then all of a sudden, like, Bad to the Bone starts. And, like, we're driving through, like, some, like, atmospheric things, and we're like, wait a minute. This station is just for the queue area, isn't it? And Lindsay's like, did I just hear a train noise outside? And we roll down the windows, and it's like, oh, the audio for the whole thing has been outside for many minutes that we've been driving.
Wait, yeah, wait, were you listening to K-Earth? Like the oldies station?
Yeah, it was just Sister Golden Hair every other song. It wasn't the whole time, but for a couple of minutes, because there's this fun, like, aliens have landed in, like, a pumpkin spaceship, and it's like, bam, 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 bam. We're like, well, this isn't the right song for this. What? And we're like, maybe I should just turn it off and put my own thing on. And it's like, then we finally heard it, and we're like, oh, okay, got it. This is what it is. So then we were finally, a lot of hiccups, a lot of confusion. Now we were on a even enough road, and we were actually hearing, like, the music and stuff playing. And here, let me share a couple videos. Just
wait, I can say while you pull those up that I just was curious what the history of this ranch was. And at one point, Bob Hope owned it, and he gave it to the Catholic Church to some specific order where they ran a seminary. But then it became a seminary for a different thing, a New Age church called the Church Universal and Triumphant, which is some New Age. Like, most of it's in Montana. It seems to be an outgrowth of Christian Science and Mary Baker Eddy. Like, she coined that phrase. And, you know, I don't have time to read the whole article, but, you know, certainly people have called it a cult. So it may be questionably something resembling a cult used to happen here, where a pumpkin spaceship has landed, which seems like maybe the, like, potential ultimate event of a what would probably be kind of a fun cult.
Yeah, yeah. See, it seems like the land, now that you say that, because I didn't read that before, now that you say that, that makes some sense, because there's a lot of interesting buildings around this location. Mm-hmm. And it's got an interesting vibe. Without the fun Halloween lights and music, you go, what is that building? Okay, that looks like, that looks like a church of some kind, but not really. There is, like, a weird vibe to the architecture. But they didn't really, I mean, put up some, like, lights on the actual building itself, but there wasn't any, like, recruitment or anything happening. I don't think that I saw. here's the gist of some of it. Okay, so basically, yeah, there's just different little vignettes. Now, you can see the screen here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And some of the vignettes are confusing, because some of them, as I said, aliens, pumpkins, and then it'll just be like Hollywood. Yeah. And they're playing the Hollywood song. And it's hard. I'll post some of this. And you can see there's a Marlon Brando pumpkin from The Godfather, and it's sort of hard. There's James Bond, there's Sean Connery. Now, it's hard because I was driving, so it was hard to, like, dictate exactly what I need to get a video of. But there was also a section of pumpkins for Hollywood couples. So there was a pumpkin with Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson on it. Because Lindsay was
what?
Like, oh,
Rita Wilson.
Yeah, Lindsay was like, oh,
you have to be really good at pumpkin art to convey Rita Wilson.
It conveyed it. But Lindsay was are these like going to be like deceased celebrities? No. Some of Hollywood's hottest couples, in fact.
Not Alex Chilton and Chris Bell.
Not that I saw, but again, I was driving, you know, I couldn't focus on everything. So basically, unless I miss something, there are just a lot of sort of random vignettes. And on the website, it was like, you know, our drive through is not so scary, but there's some spooky stuff. Unless you're five, there's nothing spooky. There's nothing. It's fun and atmospheric. But I think I was hoping there was going to be a little of that. There is a good little section here that I'm going to share with you now. That's an unlicensed Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah. Nice.
And they pump snow, and that's very fun.
And yeah, so they do some fun.
Has Gosling weighed in on this yet?
I haven't seen Gosling if he weighed in yet. Maybe he's trying to get in all. You know what? He probably hasn't gotten tickets because he's not as good of a checker as I am.
You go into King Gillette Ranch. You don't want to see Christmas stuff. You want to see spooky stuff.
My favorite part of it, and I think that they maybe if I was giving any notes, I would say more of this, please. Is an area Old West type, and there's a spook easy.
Yeah.
See, like this is a little bit more. I want a little more of that, a little less Rita Wilson. That would be my note in general. But there's some nice vignettes, and I think this is good if you have like young kids. I'll say that.
I feel like a lot of these things are maybe geared to that, which is good. And you know, a lot of the pricing on some of it was sort of high, and you're like, well, if that you know, whatever $60 to $90 isn't being spread amidst four people,
right,
are you really getting your value there?
And like I'm showing you something, these are some really great art, some really cool looking stuff.
Yeah, because a lot of this stuff I was reading about, it is hand carved.
Yes, so it's like there's a lot of artistry to it. But just sort of, there's my face you can see in the corner there with a mask on. They told us we had to wear the mask while the window was down just to be safe. So in case you were to make fun of me for wearing a mask.
No, we had a similar experience.
Yeah. So basically I it is a little bit pricey, but look, it's a lot of work to put on. You're paying for the fact that you're not doing a bunch of other Halloween stuff. And chances are it would be good if you had a kid. And I just want to tell everybody, the bumpiness doesn't last. And do turn off the radio once you start. Because I was really sure we were just going to be listening to like random 70s or 80s rock. Or going through it. And I was happy to learn that was not the case. So
wow. Knights of the Jack. Just to go a little further, the Church Universal and Triumphant was a doomsday cult. It was this one woman, Elizabeth Clare Prophet. She said that the world was going to end in 1990 when Russia and the U.S. got into a nuclear war, and then that didn't happen, so the cult just kind of petered out. I think it exists maybe in some regard, but it got a lot quieter. Also, the woman who founded it, everybody, all the followers called her mother.
Well, why isn't the maze about this?
Yeah.
Yes.
That would be
like, it's haunted by Elizabeth Clare Prophet.
This would be awesome. And I'm sure some of these other mazes have like sort of more narratives, because I think that's what I would have been like, yeah, you can make like an interesting story. But yeah, that writes itself. You get the ghost of Bob Hope involved.
Selling her the deed.
And then, yeah, as soon as like the world is about to end, that's when you exit, like Mr. Toad.
Oh, you just survived. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You hear Reagan and Gorbachev yelling at each other, and it's a period piece.
Yeah, you have teens play Gorbachev and Reagan, and they go on the sides of your car.
Applying your Gorbachev birthmark paint every night.
Psyching yourself up to do it again.
I got this. I know this character.
So,
well,
there it is.
Really fun. Well, love it.
Hey, everybody, this is the B-Man, OBW, from the World Record Podcast, and I'm here to let you know that me and my co-host, the A-Train, a.k.a. Hershey Hellman, took over office hours live this week. We came into the studio. We made it our own. We wrecked the place. I stole one of Tim Heidecker's guitars. So check out Office Hours Live on your podcast app of your choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live this week and see what happens. Or go to worldrecordpodcast.com and you can watch the videos or join the Patreon, patreon.com/worldrecordpodcast. Enjoy the show.
It's showtime.
Dr. Murhaug, thoughts about this year's haunt?
Well, do you want to hear mine, or do you want to hear some of the like other parks around the country?
Oh, let's do that, because we're talking about LA things. But it sounds like you looked into some stuff that our friends around the country could maybe check out.
Mm-hmm. The first, so back in July, I saw an article that I sent to you guys about like I want to give them credit. It's called Haunted Road. It's in Florida, Orlando area. And there was an article in Theme Park Insider. I think a lot of places picked it up because they were seen to be one of the first ones to say, like, we're going to do a haunt, but you will drive through it. And I watched some videos of this. It looks very cool. You know, this one is scary, but the scenes are all pretty far away. There were some spookies, some ghoulies who got pretty close to the camera person's car and screamed at the car. Mm-hmm. But everyone's got masks on. There were kids in like glowing, like those Purge masks, like that the characters in The Purge wear, like kind of weirder looking masks like that. It doesn't seem like, like I said, it's a lot of maybe people pop up 10 feet away from your car and scenes play out, but I don't think they want to do jump scares when you're behind the wheel of like a 3,000 pound sedan. Mm-hmm. There's another one in Kissimmee called Scream and Stream. What was interesting about these was that it's a little off the beaten path, so it was like pitch black and dirt roads, so certainly adds to the ambiance. Scream and Stream had a giant floating deer skull puppet, and that looked pretty cool. That looked pretty insane.
Wow.
What else? Sticking to Florida, Busch Gardens Tampa was doing a Halloween event. Just scare zones, no houses. In Chicago, the old Carlson neck of the woods, there is a haunt. This is the craziest one I've come across. It's called Alley of Darkness. It is a drive-in haunt, so you drive in and park. And this is the copy they had on their event. Our haunt is set in an alley in the shadows of the Red Line, where a horrible incident occurred not long ago. You'll settle in with a drive-in movie experience that sets the narrative. The undead, demons, zombies, and more jump out and rock your car, accompanied by sound effects and sprays of blood. That's right, your car gets covered in blood. You may opt out.
Yes, I do.
Our drive-in haunted house where you are confined to your car for 30 minutes so you can't escape the horror until the end. And then it wraps up. We cannot remove every drop of blood. It will be clean enough to drive on the road, and you cannot, for any reason, short of heart attack, leave your car or open doors or windows.
What? This is a lot of terms.
Wow. I need to get one of my old friends to go do this, or I get like make my dad. I make my dad do it.
I have to thank Franny Comstock for sending me that. The host of the Girls Like Us podcast sent me this, and it is still the weirdest one I've come across.
Wow.
No videos yet of that online. But yeah, if you're in Chicago and you want a messed up experience, go for that.
That sounds messed up.
I don't want your parents to mess up one of their cars.
Okay.
It's only going to be a pain for them.
Yeah.
What if you rent? I'll tell them to rent a car, and then do it.
Let's see what. There are some walkthrough. Well, there's more LA stuff. There is a walkthrough experience. I forget. On the way to Palm Springs, they like built a house set, but it's all like tarps outside. Seemingly, mm-hmm. There's a big Stranger Things drive through thing, right, that's happening downtown. It's not happening until like right before Halloween. And it runs until January, but it's the first like few weeks sold out really quickly. But probably the biggest haunt for our audience might be interested in is Universal Orlando just said, fuck it. We got two houses. And the thing about Universal Orlando is they, up to very recently, were full steam ahead going to do Horror Nights with some changes, to the point where most of the houses were done, enough that eventually they canceled the whole event, but then they did open up the houses Revenge of the Tooth Fairy and Bride of Frankenstein Lives. And you can find videos of both of those online. Revenge of the Tooth Fairy, kind of a walk through a messed up storybook narrative where a child does not want to give up a tooth to the Tooth Fairy, and then everyone starts getting murdered by fairies. And Bride of Frankenstein Lives appears to be so dark it will not show up on camera, but the sounds were very good.
Great sounds.
Great sounds.
Neil Young quality.
Now that I've said all that, here is the best thing I have read about any haunt this year. And this is coming from Screamscape, who I have to give credit to. We teased them in the past because they have stuck with their old website. But during, you know, COVID times, their posts have mostly stuck to just the facts. But there is one rumor that they reported that I have to read aloud because it is so funny. So one of the rumored houses for Halloween Horror Nights, there was a bunch that kind of leaked. One was going to be Haunting of Hill House. One was going to be themed to the music and persona of the pop star Billie Eilish. So that house did not go up this year. And while most of the other houses that are completed, there's very good chance they could just get put on the shelf and put in warehouses and spaces backstage so they can do them in 2021.
I'm sorry, this is still Universal, the Billie Eilish potential experience.
Correct, yes. Okay. So, but Screamscape reported that the Billie Eilish house will not end up being used should some of these houses get used in 2021. Per Screamscape, the reason it won't return in 2021 is that Billie Eilish's personal theme slash branding will be changing to something not dark before Halloween Horror Nights 2021 rolls around. So if you're a fan, get ready for that new personal branding that's coming to the Eilish household.
Wow, interesting.
So she's going to be a sweetheart. She's going to be like Jessica Simpson in 2001.
Wow.
New we'll just brand. Have to wait Dukes. And see. We'll just have to wait and see.
But this is confusing. We already went back and forth on Taylor. She was all about bats and, you know, thrusting. And then she became about butterflies and colors. How are we supposed to keep track of who's light and who's dark?
The Hollywood vampires famously turned into the Hollywood nice guys and then back to Hollywood vampires. It's so confusing.
Well, the sun came up, so, you know.
What are you going to do during the day? Only concerts during the day for a little while.
Right.
Yes.
That's so strange. Well, that seems like that's a pretty big spoiler for the forthcoming Billie Eilish output.
Yeah, really? Actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's going to try smiling for a change.
You know, it's wrestling. Sometimes feuds are telegraphed. Like, they're like, well, this seems like it's what the big match at WrestleMania will be this. They're setting up 18 months out, 12 months out, you know?
Sure. All right. So, well, prepare for that, everyone.
Prepare for that.
The only thing we don't know is if we will still be in lockdown by the time Billie Eilish's new phase is occurring.
There's no way to know.
Let's hope by the time there's the Smiles and Sunshine tour that we could go see it in person and not just from our cars.
Yes, we hope.
So, on to my haunt, or my age-appropriate Halloween drive-thru experience. So, I went to, it was called Haunt-a-ween, and it's still going for a little while longer. It is in Woodland Hills, California. Mike, I have to say, unlike you, yes, we did discover roll your windows down to hear the audio. There were a lot more signs at mine. The roads were very smooth because this took place in an empty mall parking lot.
Yeah, that's one of my childhood malls because I grew up near that and the Topanga Plaza. And this is the one that died. This is the dead mall of the bunch. But that's like the theater where I saw, you know, so many classics, Independence Day and Men in Black. And, you know, it was nice and peach colored, a color that aged really bad. And it's one of those places where they've started doing weird, like there's like church services in the AMC now. Mm-hmm. I mean, hopefully not now, but for the last couple of years. I heard there's like parts of the parking lot that are not safe to go in anymore. Like, I don't know, like a bunch of people live in this garage now. Like this time has not been kind to the promenade.
Is that the one that has the Crown Books in it? I always forget.
Yes. Yeah. It's still a Crown Books for a really long time.
That is maybe one of the most shocking things. We met my friend and his wife there a few years ago at this point. And is there a Maggiano's in there?
That's
There's
right.
A Maggiano's.
Yes.
That was still going strong. And
yes.
The
Maggiano's has the deal where if you buy an entree, they give you a free one to take home.
Oh, you know my parents are at that Maggiano's all the damn time.
Yeah, they get you at a free dinner every time you eat dinner there. And then we were walking around in this creepy dead mall, and we turned a corner, and there's a Crown Books, a long dead, I thought, book chain. So maybe that's the scariest thing in this episode, is that a book chain I thought was dead for years was still operating in this mall.
Beyond the grave.
And it was... It kind of felt also like everything in there was from 20 years ago, because it was a lot of used books, I believe.
So, yeah, kind of a get them out of here sort of store.
It was weird, that mall.
I'm so delighted. I'm glad they have never... There's been lots of rumors of ways to retheme, lots of boring ways to turn this into, you know, boring apartment buildings or sites. It's going to be boring, whatever it is. But right now, it is open and available to do big, weird, like, pumpkin tunnels and stuff. So what'd oh, you yeah. think? How was it?
It was good. I mean, they're just utilizing the parking space,
mm-hmm.
the parking lot. You don't go inside.
You don't drive through the Crown Books.
I wish you drove through. And also, there's a big, shiny outdoor mall across the street and like an Amazon grocery store, some sort of drive-through dispensary. I think that was already closed for the night, but we were very confused and interested what that was. But
well, that's the one where we did the weird, that's where we did the not the void, but the other one.
Yes,
the other virtual thing that I assume is doomed due to the current situation.
Yeah.
And then we went to my childhood hot dog place, Flukies.
Mm-hmm. Flukies kicks ass. Flukies great.
Flukies episode. Thank you. I'm so glad to hear it.
Here's, guys, you can see the map of the events and where the mall is situated versus the drive-through experience. You know, we liked it. I have to say, it was pretty well staffed. Like, they had a lot of people working with, you know, those wands, those glowing wands that you direct traffic with. Everyone was kind of freestyling it with those traffic directing wands. Like, one guy was really, like, he really told us to roll the windows down. He's like, no, this means stop. This means stop. And then we drove by someone else who was doing a similar motion. I went to stop, and they just went, happy Halloween. And they were just clearly like waving their wand around to celebrate the whimsy.
I ran into a few wand situations as well where I went, is that a come forward or is that a like scratching your face?
Yeah. So happy people are working, but also like a little stressed out by the wands. I also, you know, it did not dawn on me. I mean, just to get here, I was like, oh, I haven't driven on the freeway at night in like 6 months. So that was a bit of a trip. And then
was that okay?
Oh yeah, it was fine. It was just like, oh yeah, this is so weird, you know.
God, I haven't either. Not since I had to go have a baby. That was like, that's the only time in many months.
Didn't you go on Knott's to eat the chicken?
Not at
night.
Yeah,
I went at like 2 o'clock
yeah,
in the
I guess
afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I hadn't thought about how scary it's going to be.
The other thing is, like, yeah, as Mike alluded to, like, these are very narrow lanes, and especially in a mall parking lot where they've just set up, like, handrails, they have essentially made, like, pen lanes. Like, you are driving 1 to 4 miles an hour through, like, car switchbacks, like, you know, going, snaking around to go through these little scenelets and stuff. So it was a little stressful, honestly, at first, to be, like, that confined and that going that slowly, but
driving
eventually,
test. Don't hit the cones.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, there it started off with like a big like jack-o'-lantern tunnel. I'm gonna share the screen again because I have like a bunch of pictures. So it started off with like a big jack-o'-lantern tunnel and a pumpkin patch. And there was a What We Do in the Shadows tunnel, which I was like, oh, did they record voices? Like, will the characters talk to you? And I'll just show you. They just kind of bent one of the billboards that are around LA into a tunnel shape.
Yeah, wait a minute. This is just like, imagine driving through a poster.
This was going to be on like a hotel at Comic-Con, and they repurposed it for this.
Yeah, so kind of cool to see like a 12-foot high Mark Proshk and a 6-foot high FX on Hulu
man.
Logo. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so then you went through a pumpkin patch, A couple different like pumpkin scenes. There was a pumpkin patch with like funny jokes, and then there was this big LA sign with a Kobe jersey, similar to Mike's Hollywood sign. Everyone's got the city on the mind.
That's kind of weird, though.
That is weird. Yes,
the jersey of a deceased.
Yeah, we started off. We started off, I should say, with like a man in like kind of Joker makeup came up to us and he asked, "Do you want to play a game? Are you ready to play?"
What?
And then he shoved a pole with a basket full of candy in the window and dumped it on Jane's lap. And that became a reoccurring thing throughout the night.
A Joker approached you with a pole and a thing of candy at the end of it?
Oh, no. There were pirates. There were vampires. There were, most importantly, characters from the new HBO Max original Roald Dahl's The Witches. At the very end of this, there was like you drove through the town from The Witches, and they gave out candy.
What was your Jason, what was your haul at this place? This seems like you got a lot of candy.
Yeah, that was the other thing, because this event was also similarly priced, $70, and I got to give them credit, because we thought it was like over, and then it turned out we were only like halfway through, and so by the end of it, this filled a reusable Trader Joe's shopping bag. So,
oh my God,
that's a ton and a big variety.
Yeah,
wow,
a very big variety.
We didn't get candy at all, and I will say about ours, I thought it was half over, and it was actually over.
Wow.
But yeah, so this, I mean, there was a skeleton band. There was a scene where the skeletons were having a party. There was a pumpkin headed man who was just kind of picking up loose hay. I don't know what his deal was. yeah, I'm trying to remember what other scenes. Yeah, the whimsical skeletons were very fun. A lot of whimsical music. There was a pirate who kept like popping up. He would follow the cars from scene to scene. Very fun. There was a very fun moment where like one of the guys was dressed as a vampire, and Jane realized she knew them and asked, "Are you so and so?" And he went, "Yes." Like he kept doing the voice, and he gave us extra candy.
Sweet.
So,
oh my God.
This
is so strange. And
Garfield, the dog with the candy.
Oh, you brought the dog.
Floor.
Hey.
Yeah, the dog just slept on the ground next to the candy. that was the other thing they didn't really, we should have thought ahead of, like, they're just dumping the candy in both our laps. so they kind of had to pick up the floor candy and put it in a bag to transport it.
Mm-hmm.
But, it was good. I think all in all, by the time we got in and went through it all, it was like 30-40 minutes or so. They may have had too many people working in the pumpkin patch, because someone almost gave us a second pumpkin, and we're like, no, we got the pumpkin. And but you got to pick which pumpkin you wanted. Like, that was cool.
Wow.
So, yeah, I thought this was really fun. Yeah, windows down, masks on. And they had fun, like, Halloween-y music pumping through everywhere. And it was a really nice time.
It's all made so much more surreal. Like, you're describing Jokers coming up to you in your car. And then it's all, like, in the shadow of the long-dead Macy's, where I would go get my school clothes. It's just some of the strangest. It's eerie, but comforting. I'm glad things are happening, but they're all very surreal to look at. A giant Mark Croce. This is all so strange.
This was a skeleton beauty parlor, where the skeletons are getting their nails done and prepped.
I like that.
here's the party. Of course, you see they got the big guys, the Home Depot big guys.
Yeah.
Has anyone thought about getting the Home Depot $300 like 12-foot skeleton?
If I had a front yard, I would absolutely get it, and money also that I didn't spend on a bot.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, your skeleton money went to the bot.
Right.
Well, that seems pretty strong. Glad you enjoyed
it. Yeah, I would
it.
Recommend it. It was brought to you by, like, sponsored by Butterfinger, Party City, and FX. So you end up with a lot of candy. FX, I don't quite know what material support they provided, but the Party City stuff, you know, everything's... The costumes aren't like Horror Nights quality, but everyone was having a lot of fun who worked there, and it was like spirits were high. Spirits were high. That said, it was 80 degrees at 8:30 p.m. the night I went, so it was a little weird.
The Woodland Hills is hot. That's true.
Yeah.
Are you guys comforted as Comic-Con fans? Are you comforted seeing activations again?
Yes.
Have you missed, like...
The answer is yes.
Big billboards masquerading as experiences?
The answer is yes. Missing Comic-Con. There's been a lot of things that I've expressed outwardly that I've missed, but I have not expressed that I miss seeing, like, trains reskinned with a TV show or a movie that I'll never watch. And I'm not saying that's any of the things you're talking about. I'm just saying that 9 times out of 10, when you see a billboard at Comic-Con, you're never going to watch that thing. But I like
some weird, it's like a show about like the young chronicles of the guy who built Chucky. It's like some
the
like,
maker, just, the toy maker.
the toy maker. And he's like, why is he this like brooding 22-year-old British guy?
He's hot as
why
hell.
Why is he shirtless? Yeah.
So hot. The guy who made Chucky.
They're going to like kind of suggest Chucky abstractly in the opening montage, but he won't actually get built until season 6.
Mm-hmm, that's right. It's on Epic TV.
You know, you're never going to watch it. You don't even have the means to watch it.
Right.
You wouldn't know where to find that.
Not available.
A map.
Of course, on the Hilton Bayside, there's a big poster for Scott's new show, Kincaid. The origin story of Reuben Kincaid from the Partridge Family.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for reminding me. I know. I got a lot to do. I got to work on Jaws 19. And I got to get Kincaid ready. I'm glad Comic-Con got canceled because I was not ready for my panel.
Yeah. So next year, there'll be a 15-story Kincaid poster.
Oh,
again,
really excited.
He's hot too, by the way.
I was going to say, we found a really great actor to play the Partridge Family's manager. He is 22. He is British playing American, and he is oh so hot.
Yeah.
And you will not see the Partridge Family until season 9. You might get a phone call and you think it's Danny, but you know, you're not sure. It's ambiguous.
He drives by a hospital and they suggest Danny was born. He was just born.
You just hear a baby cry.
Right. And he goes, oh. And then there's kind of like a little, he like picks it up. And then he
tells me I'll be seeing that baby someday.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all well and good for you. But due to executive shakeups, I've been brought in to fix Gale, the Dorothy Gale Wizard of Oz prequel. And I am not optimistic about the chances for this show. It doesn't help that the star, Billie Eilish, is changing her whole persona and branding. That's totally going to overshadow.
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah, she's going to be in persona change meetings from here to 2023. You're never going to get any time with her.
Right.
I'm getting no material support from Cider, which, of course, is the brand new streaming service from Martinelli's Apple Juice. There are no help whatsoever.
Cider spelled S-Y-D-R. Cider.
$14 a month.
We've got to launch in the fall. Guys, why aren't you listening? The tie-in, the cider seasonal tie. I don't understand. I feel like I'm shouting at a wall.
We're comfortable launching with only long-form cider ads. We think we'll build the audience with that, and then we'll give them some original IP.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, hey, HBO Max deserves more credit because they had witches' houses. There are people dressed like the characters, I think. I'm not really that familiar with the book and previous movie. But from the trailers, it looked like the one character that talked to us in a spooky accent was dressed like Anne Hathaway's character. And they had big houses and stuff. And so that was fun.
Sounds
I've
fun.
Heard they have another, they have an in-your-car experience based on The Vow, the Nixium documentary, where you sit in your car in a big line for 9 hours and nothing ever happens.
Well, that, you have been taking the producer role on the producing the documentary about that cult that Mike's Jack-O-Lantern Festival was used to.
Hell yeah. Well, yeah, we're in and out. After The Vow, this documentary is 13 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be jam-packed. We're going to plow through it.
It's going to be a real quick bite.
You know, I've been saying, ever since The Vow, I have been saying that people want quicker entertainment. They want their content and quick little bites.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to do, damn it. Mm-hmm. I've been on the record about loving quick bites many times.
I know, we remember.
Famously so. Okay, my experience. So, there's, with me doing any sort of Halloween haunt experience, there is a lot for me to triangulate, not only the ongoing pandemic, but also my baby's frequent nap and sleep schedules, and most importantly, me being afraid of haunts, of things that occur in the dark. Even the things that you guys just showed me seem perfectly pleasant, but I would always be afraid that around the corner, as Mike said, there were some teenagers shaking your car or putting blood on it without my permission.
Or a Joker with a candy basket. Get away! Scary. Get away! Get away from the car! You swerve into the mall.
I'm going to go hide in that Macy's, my favorite Macy's. I don't want any of this. I wanted a different vibe. So that is why, considering all of this, I decided from my experience to take a 10 a.m. visit to the Halloween experience at the Citadel Outlet Mall.
Whoa.
This has come up on the show before, but again, for the non-Los Angeles people, if you're driving on the 5 to or from the 5 freeway to or from Disneyland, this is probably the most like notable sight of your trip to Knott's Berry Farm or Disneyland, because suddenly, after a bunch of really industrial boring stuff, there's suddenly this giant, what looks like an ornate Middle Eastern palace, or I've also said it kind of looks like a Mario fortress, like it's like it's like a level 8. First of all, neither here nor, I mean, we could do an entire, we'll do the, you know, that was one of the keepers we met, I believe, was the Citadel guy, who sounded like a real drag, but this was apparently a former tire factory. If you were, I don't know why I'm saying this. Now, why does it look like a Middle Eastern palace? Well, because it was a tire factory, you see. Doesn't really answer it. And then I just remember, Aaron and I went there a long time ago, and we were like, whoa, so it's themed. So it all looks, it's all this Assyrian vibe. That sounds crazy. And then we went back there, and it's all just behind that big building.
Yeah.
And it's like the most boring place you've ever been.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple outlet malls that inside look exactly the same that on the way to Palm Springs. Like they all feel like they're in the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing.
There's one Camarillo
aesthetic.
Like that. That might just be what all of them are. They don't. You're not paying for theming. It's as bare bones as it could be. I guess that's what an outlet mall's all about. So I have criticized this place for dullness for not delivering on the promise of the Assyrian palace that you see from the freeway. But for Halloween, let me tell you. It's a whole different story. I brought the whole family, I can say, and thus making this probably the first themed experience that my son has been to. So that's a big moment. Yeah, pretty exciting. Over by the food court, there is their main claim to fame, the big thing that they are boasting about, up on those video billboards that we know from our Disneyland drives that we never get to do anymore. And they're advertising up on those Big Jack, who is the largest pumpkin in Los Angeles.
Wow.
So they say. I wonder if they're allowed to make that claim, partially because the Big Jack-O-Lantern Mickey is not available for public consumption at Disneyland. So maybe in another year they couldn't say it. Although I saw Big Jack and he's pretty big. Big Jack might be bigger than the Mickey. Big Jack is 16 feet tall. He's 15 feet wide. Yeah, he weighs 1,500 pounds, and he's surrounded by 40 plus bales of hay. That doesn't feel as special now. You guys showed me so much hay. I think everybody saw a lot of hay. Anybody going to any of these haunts will see a lot of hay. So if you're a fan of hay, this is your year. Big Jack is also surrounded by a spooktacular garden of giant sunflowers and candy corn. And this is one of those. So, all right. You know, this is this like little cutesy experience. And in another year, I might have been more, you know, where I'm going to the immersive theming of an actual theme park. And pre having a child, I might have been like, oh yeah, yo, so they got like sunflowers. Those probably look stupid, right? Well, it's fun. They try something. I don't know. This was to me in my current state, breathtaking. This was wonderful. It was great. It was wonderful to see big things, big cartoony cloth things. My boy like stood and like stared into the flower and held it and was one of the most fascinated I've seen him be in something. Like, he did register this is something different. So now I am like, bless you, spooktacular garden. Why would I ever have been snarky about this before?
Wow.
Thank you for entertaining my boy. We then proceeded to do the experience that, you know, they don't want people going in to just be see Big Jack and leave. They want you to go explore the many offerings of the outlet mall, which is pretty much open. So that's why there's an activity called Let's Track Jack and His Friends. And this I like because we got some original IP involved. You go to like a visitor's center, past a bunch of brochures, and they give you like a map of the mall and then stickers of all of the characters that you might meet and their names, and you have to go look for them. Now, if you plan on doing the Citadel tracking Jack and his friends, you might want to hit the skip button a couple times because I'm going to spoil some locations for you. But Kitty Cat was at Michael Kors. So if you're looking for a hint, though, also just go to Michael Kors. That's one of the 12. You got to find 12 friends. Mums with a Z, who's a mummy, was outside of Ruby's, which is a chain that I am shocked has not gone bankrupt during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow they've made it. And then best of all, Skelly the Skeleton was outside of the Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory. Rocky Wow. Mountain Chocolate Factory, the home to Truffles, the large sad bear who we love so much. Aaron, we've talked about this, and I think, and God bless our audience. Our audience has now posted a lot and sent us a lot of photos of them comforting Truffles, the sad bear who needs some emotional support. I've loved seeing all these. Please always keep them coming. But a lot of Truffles live indoors, so we haven't seen Truffles in a long time, and we've been at home taking care of the boy. So rounding it, realizing, oh my God, that's a Rocky Mountain. Is he out? Oh my God, Truffles is out. He was wearing a mask and a mask, not like a Halloween mask, but the, you know, mm-hmm. that we all have to wear because of the disease, and also a confusing costume that was like a cape and a necktie at once. I didn't really know what they were, but it's, you know, hanging off of them weird and bad, but I would expect nothing less from my buddy. I might as well screen share. You can take in this wonderful sight. We got to introduce my boy to our favorite bear, who, by the way, for a long time, I've said this before, this will be his first Halloween costume of his life, as being the sad bear. Aaron was so happy to see him. I was so happy to see him. This was truly heartwarming. He, as you can tell, he's very excited. He's as invested as us, certainly not just looking off somewhere else. You should see Big Jack too. Just tell me what you
I was gonna say, can you go back to the picture, the close-up picture of Truffles real quick, and I'm gonna make a really disgusting comment.
yes, I might know where you're going. What's your observation about Truffles?
The mask that's like clinging tightly to his snout, it definitely looks like the lower half of Borat's yellow swimsuit with his testicles being ensnared.
His mankini.
Yeah, there you go. I just get a vibe from that. Just me though.
He probably needs to wear a bigger mask, probably to get the full coverage. But I'm glad he's trying. You know, Truffles is always sad, and in this trying year, I just hope he doesn't have it even worse. Though, how could it get worse for him? He just seems so glum no matter what. He's sadder than Eeyore, so we always like to stop by and make him feel a little better. I believe we may have done this. I think Aaron did this without touching him. Because, you know, germs and all, but you could still lend distant support. I thought you were going to, when you said disgusting, I thought you were going to comment on the multiple stains on
it. I mean, that's gross too.
Yeah, it's not ill fit. Also, the tie reads, trick or treat, be so sweet, give me something good to eat.
Be so sweet. And then the tie is also stained.
Well, with chocolate. He is a hungry boy. He's a grown boy.
He's named after chocolate, or treats, at least. What do you think of Big Jack here?
I mean, he's great.
Yeah.
I like him.
Pretty huge. I think maybe bigger than that, Mickey, right?
Maybe a little, by a little bit. It's interesting. I obviously, without comparison to like where they're both located, it's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah. But, you know, it satisfied me. I also liked that one of these big sunflowers. It really impressed my boy. And I liked that it was in front of a flip-flop shop, one of our flip-flop shops, plural. One of the, an old fallen brother, which we just found out is no longer at City Walk.
Does this count as a Citadel saga?
I mean, if this knocked it out, I'd be thrilled.
I can't remember who the keeper of that was, but perhaps we'll ask them.
We can, somebody can text that particular keeper.
Will you for one Halloween have your child be Richard Nixon?
Well, I do have the mask. I may have thrown away the mask at some point. I don't know. You know, after my whole life's story of being really into presidents and then how insane and damaging the last 4 years have been, I think I'm going to keep my son away. I'm going to keep him away from the idea of presidents as long as possible.
Okay.
Like, until he's confronted by photos of them in a classroom, I'm going to pretend they don't exist. Okay, I'm not going to say the word.
That's fair.
Seems like a plan. He's just looking at like a white pumpkin. I can't tell you how much this warms my heart. My summation of all of this, we did this in less than an hour. It was definitely a little mundane. It took place at a place I just called specifically not very well themed, and it is without a doubt the best thing I've done in 2020. Our spirits soared. Even we missed driving to Disney. We missed that bad drive.
Oh yeah.
Like, well,
I know.
What's the 7:10? Oh, sure. And is the 10 crowded today? And we got to get over. The interchange is on the left this time. We miss all that. We haven't gotten to do it with the kid. So even like driving halfway to Disneyland, we were like aglow leaving this outlet mall. And I forgot the detail that if you track Jack and his friends successfully, that your prize, there's a number of them, but you can get a free soda at Charlie's Subs. You can get a pretzel at Auntie Anne's. Pretty good prizes. Not so good for my little Jack Tracker, who cannot have any of those items. The only prize they could have offered that would have made us go do the whole thing is 3 ounces of smelly formula. that would have, like, oh, really? Well, his favorite treat.
But did your child turn to you at any point and go, like, since we're halfway down the 5, can we just go to Downtown Disney? They've set up a limited time shopping experience in stage 17, and we can get our picture under a Play It sign.
As when I was coming into this realm, a spirit whispered to me, a ghostly boy spirit. He was full of youthful enthusiasm, just like me, Papa. He said, please take your boy there so he can walk in my footsteps.
The Disney outlets at the Citadel Outlet reopened a few months ago, and there was lines around the block to get that discounted park merchandise, that clearance, like, grad night that never happened merchandise.
Here's the thing about the outlet malls. They're not really outlet malls. it's all this big scam. This is how I feel. This is the end of the episode, I'm guessing. But like, I've been in those Disney outlet stores and there's like a little clearance section, but everything else is regular price.
Yeah, it's not cheaper there.
It's not cheaper in most of these stores.
There was there's like two in Orlando that are like really, really dirt cheap clearance.
Well, that's a different thing. They closed the one in California.
Yeah.
But there is one in Orlando, I think, maybe still, that actually has cheap discounted stuff. But yeah, these outlet stores, by and large, not much different than a regular store.
There was a day we were driving back from Disneyland, maybe. I don't know if we did an overnight or something. I think we just ended up driving back like on Black Friday or the day before Thanksgiving or something. And the traffic was unreal. I mean, it's always really bad around there, although not currently because no one's going anywhere. But like, it was so awful one day. And we were like, wait a minute, is this like pre-Black Friday at the outlet mall? And indeed it was. And once we passed it, it was so crowded. There were police everywhere directing. Like, this was, you know, like a Coachella audience had descended on this outlet mall. And for what? For slightly cheaper flip-flops?
I guess, yeah. I you know, I feel like I went into an H&M, which has cheap clothing. It's the same. It's the same price. It's fooling. It's fooling us.
Yeah. I've never been fond of this place, I have to say, until now. Until they gave us this wonderful less than an hour, until they showed us Big Jack. I mean, I'll always have a different view of this place from now on. They made Halloween real special. Maybe even in a way, if it's possible, more special than the one that I spent with Jay Leno and Alex Chilton.
Wow. Well, that's, I mean, you just said it all.
I tied it all back to the beginning. I guess that's the point where you end the episode and say you survived HauntCast the Fright local haunts edition. Here's hoping that next year we can go back to the way it's supposed to be, getting screamed at by teens.
Yes.
And that Mike can go have the Halloween that he wants, and that Jason and I can have essentially the one we are currently having, where we stay home.
I'm working on Jason, though. What do you think, Jason? Will you declare one that you'll go to at least one of these with me next year? Are you willing to?
This was supposed to be the year. This was like, all right, I'll go to Universal. I'll do the polished one. You know, I'll do the polished one. The like high budget, like, you know,
okay.
It has the most liability insurance. That's the other thing I thought about all these drive through haunts, especially the small ones. What must that liability insurance be? And here's a 300 cars a night and a bunch of people directing traffic who just learned how to do this a week ago. Good luck.
All right, so Jason will be at Horror Nights next year.
I'll do it next year.
Done deal. Hey, as for us, next week, hey, we know what's happening next week. There's only one topic it could be. It's the topic that we are parsing through as slowly as possible, as slowly as driving through a pumpkin tunnel, bumper to bumper. We're heading back to the Haunted Mansion next week. I don't know. I guess we usually don't say it, but, you know, we know what week it is.
We know what we're doing.
Get
pumped
up.
I'm
going
to go back and listen to the previous episodes because my memory has been destroyed this year, and I don't know where we left off. So.
I figured it out, so I know how to kick it off, and I think we'll be fine. How far will we get? Only time will tell. I'll obviously go to the cemetery gate, the Patreon for the bonus content, where we've had, I think, two of them have come out, and we got one more. Spooky episode for the month before we go back to the regular second gate, and that's of course at patreon.com/podcasttheride. Hey, and merch at TeePublic. We got a Haunted Mansion or a HauntCast the Fright design for shirts and other things. Use your imagination what it could be on. Yeah, that's that. It's been a fun month. So for myself, Rick Zombieberg, Dr. Murder Hog, and General Trag. What does General Trag say? Well, you have the last word.
He says, we have to stop those neutrinos.
All right. So stop the neutrinos in your life. Stop the metaphorical neutrinos by plundering this country by voting. Vote those neutrinos? I forget every...
The neutrinos were, Scott, they were those three, like, space 50s, like, kids that, like, were hanging out with the Ninja Turtles. I'm sure you would notice, you would recognize them. Michelangelo...
Wait, they're not... Wait, are they not bad?
No, they're good. No,
oh, shoot. Oh, never mind. Vote for the neutrinos. Oh, God. Vote neutrinos. Get neutrinos in the White House this year.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Thanks for straightening me out, General Tragg. and we'll be back next week. Happy hauntings.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Mike Carlson, Jason Sheridan, Scott Gardner, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.